This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sumitra Selvaraj, and with me in the studio today are Lim Soo Ann and T. Xiao Yik.
So what is the first thing that you would think of when you hear the word Mattel, the name Mattel, the company? And I think for many of us, what comes to mind immediately are Barbies, because that has been the face of the company, essentially. And Barbies have actually been around in the lives of children for a very long time, so since 1959. And for many of these years, Mattel has helped to shape, to define gender norms with Barbie and Ken. But along the way, has also received criticism for promoting unrealistic body proportions to young girls. But in the past few years, past decades, we've seen Mattel introduce a whole range of diverse Barbies. And just last Wednesday, Mattel has released their latest products, Creatable Worlds, which is a new line of gender-neutral dolls for boys, girls, and children in between.
Yes, so the dolls differ from Mattel's gendered Barbie and G.I. Joe dolls in subtle but significant ways. So these dolls are almost like a blank slate. They don't have your typical broad shoulders that Ken does. Mm. They don't have the full hips and the tiny waist that Barbie has. Mm. No long lashes. They come in different skin tones as well, for more ethnic representation. Also, each doll has 2 wigs of different lengths and also has different hair types.
Okay.
And on top of that, they come with several wardrobe options that can be feminine, masculine, or gender neutral. And all these accessories essentially allow the child to style the doll however they want in any combination they like. The thing is, though, the cost, it's a bit, it's going to make you catch your breath a bit. Each kit, so that includes all the accessories and the doll, costs about $30. That's about 125 ringgit at current conversion rates. And if you compare that to the so-called normal range of Barbie dolls, that's about 30 to 90 ringgit locally. So we're looking at maybe 2 to 4 times more than the normal range.
Okay. So according to Kim Kalmon, who's the Mattel executive who led the team that designed the new dolls, this line is intended to reflect our culture, quote, as the world continues to celebrate the positive impact of inclusivity, unquote. Mattel says that the Creatable World dolls are intended to be relatable, not aspirational. Is Barbie aspirational?
Well, in all the wrong ways, if you ask me.
And they're not supposed to be adults like how Barbie and Ken are, but rather they were designed specifically to have a youthful, gender-neutral appearance.
Mm. So, things like they don't have the body shape, they don't have breasts, for instance.
Right. Attributes.
Yeah, yes. It is the body of a child, as a child would recognize it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, they did give some background to how these products came about. So they said that research and design took about 18 months. And in that process, Mattel worked with physicians and experts knowledgeable about gender identity. They spoke to about 250 families across the US, so including children of different gender identities, to understand what exactly that they wanted to see in dolls. So from their research, Kalmon said that they learned that kids didn't want to be told that, oh, if you're a boy, you have to play with this specific toy, like a construction set, or if you're a girl, you have to play with a kitchen set. And as for the parents as well, they did find that there was growing concern from them about having gendered toys around their children. But I mean, alongside that, they also did see that there was an evident generational divide on this subject. So this was something that the kids spoke about more, they understood more easily, but it was a bit harder for some parents to understand.
I don't know whether it's about kids not wanting to be told about playing with specific toys. They just don't want to be told
anything.
Period.
That's right.
Okay. If I remember correctly, this isn't the first time that Mattel has done something like this, right? For many years now, Mattel has been introducing more diverse Barbie and Ken dolls. Back in 2016, Mattel added curvy, petite, and tall versions, kind of like Gap jeans. In 2017, we had the first hijab-wearing Barbie, inspired by American fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad. Earlier this year, Mattel debuted a doll with a prosthetic leg and yet another that comes in a wheelchair.
But it's not only Mattel. Yes. So the other big toy brand that's a huge influence on kids today, Lego, introduced, for instance, wheelchair-using characters in 2016.
Right.
And then in 2017, Lego made the set that celebrated the women of NASA, which I loved.
I remember that one. That was brilliant.
If I was a kid, I would have asked for that. Mm-hmm. And nobody took my wish list for Christmas.
Can I just say, nothing's stopping you at the moment. You're an adult now.
So just a few of the figures they created were modeled on, say, Nancy Grace Roman, who was a key figure in the creation of the Hubble Space mm-hmm. Telescope. Margaret Hamilton, who was the lead software designer for the Apollo 11 moon landing. Mm-hmm. Sally Ride, who was the first American woman in space. And Mae Jemison, the first African-American woman in space.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not just Lego. So Hasbro has also come in to this to create their own more inclusive toys. So they recently released a gender-swapped version of Monopoly, which they've called Miss Monopoly, where women players earn more than men. So for example, when players pass Go, women would receive $240 compared to men who would receive the standard $200. Mm. So according to Hasbro, this twist is intended to draw attention to the real-world disparity between what women and men are paid at work. But Miss Monopoly has received quite a bit of criticism on that, but we'll get to that in a bit. So first, to understand more about the important role that toys can play in teaching kids about diversity and inclusivity, I spoke to Anne Sivanandan earlier today. She's from the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom, and here's our conversation. What role can toys play in helping children understand and learn about what diversity and inclusivity means?
All right. The role toys can play in helping children learn and understand diversity and inclusivity is it teaches children how to share, mm-hmm. and it also teaches children to give up something that they want. So it really teaches them empathy, because you don't really learn how to be empathetic in books. So mm-hmm. when they are playing with toys, unconsciously they become aware of things like this. And like, say, for example, if you have, in an inclusive setup and where everyone is very different from one another, and if you have someone on a wheelchair who wants to play a certain toy but not able to go where the toy is, someone can bring it to that child on the wheelchair. And it also helps to build confidence, to consider one another. Yeah.
So is it then important for the toys themselves, to be diverse and inclusive in their representation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you don't cater for the crowd as far as the toys are concerned, children will not have the joy in playing because the toys are not made suitable for them. So therefore, it's very important to select the right toy and to see what the child is all about, and to encourage communication, deep thinking skills using the toys.
But then, a lot of the toys nowadays that we see when, manufacturers introduce toys that are inclusive, these options are often on the expensive side of things and perhaps beyond the budget of parents, right? So, in situations like that where parents cannot afford the expensive toys, what can parents or even educators do to use available toys to teach kids, especially young kids, about diversity and inclusivity?
Well, it's all about creativity of the adult. The adult will just need to be creative, and perhaps go back to the basic 3 R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle, mm-hmm. using all these materials to actually create toys. Like, for example, if you want to teach someone about diversity, you could ask them to make a puppet and tell them to make a puppet of your friend who is different from them, mm-hmm. and that will encourage them to think. And the adult in that care also can do observational skills, as in to actually observe, how is this child thinking? Can this child think extensively for his or her age? Or do I need to work on thinking skills? Mm-hmm. So it's basically being creative in the environment that you have or whatever is available and taking it forward.
And nowadays, do you find that it's necessarily more difficult or for kids to learn about diversity, or for them to understand what it means, what diversity means, especially at a younger age?
Yes, it is. It is. Because a lot of adults are not talking about it. And to the young ones and the importance of it, in my opinion, it's only spoken to when the situation arises, mm-hmm. and the adults speak among one another. So when such a situation arises, the prejudice has already been formed. And so children will just pick these things up and they would think, okay, it is what it is. So it's easier to start with kids because when they get older, they would develop being prejudiced. And mm-hmm. the earlier we can talk to them about the value and how diversity is important, it's much better for the kids. Start them very young. Very often, you know, they have not established their biasness already. And so their minds can be enhanced and they're not, and they will not be influenced by the discrimination that's already in existence.
So then how do we encourage parents, especially, to have these conversations with their children?
Parents can start with the current situation. You know, they can encourage children to talk about differences in their friends, for example. You know, you can start conversations like, what is it that you like about your friend? Or what is it that you don't like about your friend? And so when they start saying negative things, parents can actually, you know, come in at that point and start teaching them or to start educating their young ones about how can you not be biased? How can you not be prejudiced? How can you not discriminate? And, you know, how can you learn to accept people for who they are? And moving on.
So that was Ansi Vanathan from the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom. And, you know, looking at all these products that, you know, toy manufacturers have come out mm-hmm. with that promote inclusivity, the reactions to this have actually been quite mixed. So some critics have called them inclusive and empowering for children, while others have called them woke washing, which means that brands are simply flashing supports mm-hmm. for these causes mm-hmm. without actually having the interest in it, and all they want is just to get you to buy yeah, these products. Yeah. And you know, companies like Hasbro, Mattel, Nike, Burger King have all themselves faced these accusations of just attempting to profit off culture wars.
Yeah.
And you know, like I mentioned earlier, Hasbro's Miss Monopoly, there was a lot of criticism for that because the character that Miss Monopoly featured was Elizabeth Maggie, but they didn't mention her, even though she was actually one of the first people who pioneered this idea of land-grabbing oh. games. But Monopoly has never really talked about her role in...
I've never heard of her.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I haven't either.
So here's an opportunity to celebrate yes. A woman who was key to the, you know...
The whole concept of
yeah,
it. Yeah,
exactly, to your success, to the success right. of your brand, and you let that go.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, and I mentioned Burger King as well because as part of the Mental Awareness Month in the US, they actually they sold products like a Blue Meal or stuff like that in contrast, supposedly, to McDonald's Happy Meal. But that came off a bit weird. Because
I'll say.
Yeah. I don't know what that does to promote mental health awareness at all. Yeah. I mean, of course, these companies are in it for the profit.
Absolutely.
They are in it to grab a larger and larger share of the market out there. And that's, I guess, to me, that explains, although I've never been comfortable with it, that obviously does explain why you have gendered toys, you know, because you can sell more
yes.
Toys when you can
target.
And you have two very broad categories that you can just keep churning out plastic things for the market, you know, and that's where all your profits come from.
Yeah, and now their profit is coming from not splitting toys into these two categories, but just labeling them as for kids. Because I think some supermarkets have come out as with aisles that says toys for kids instead of dividing it into, oh, boys and girls.
Okay, so I'm under no kind of impression that, you know, Mattel's move is anything but a business move. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's clear. But the fact that they are coming out with a line of gender-neutral toys, to me, simply means that the world is more open to conversations. Mm-hmm. They're not saying, well, no, it doesn't exist. We're not going to talk about it. They're going to talk about it, perhaps make a little bit of money on the side from it, but they're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering how it fits into a child's daily experience. So for my son, we... Well, I want to say that we're open, but in all honesty, if you come to our house, his toys are weighted heavily towards the boys' type of mm-hmm. toys. He likes construction sets. He loves things with wheels on them. We have a few dolls, but he doesn't choose to play with them.
Right.
And then, you know, from kindergarten, he picks up ideas that... pink is only for girls, for mm-hmm. instance, and, you know, boys like, you know, certain types of things. So
right.
How does one product change the way kids behave and perceive things?
I don't think it can. Mm-hmm. I think the whole idea is to be able to seed the idea that change is possible.
Mm. And perhaps from there, then one person starts talking about it and then you have another person and slowly, and I guess this is the kind of change that won't happen overnight or in a few weeks. It will still take years because, like you mentioned, Shari, the idea of pink being girly and boy being for boys, it's still something that so many of us in society still hold on to. And I think we do that unconsciously as well. Like when you see babies, or that if you want to buy a gift for a baby boy, you immediately think, oh, I want to buy blue stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's a girl, you know, buy pink stuff. But and I find that sometimes I still fall into that trap because it's something that has been so entrenched with how we think about things like gender.
Yeah.
I had Barbie and Ken dolls when I was growing up, but you know, because of a lot of what I saw in my own household, the Ken doll stayed at home to cook while the Barbie doll went out to work.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a thing also, right? To not ascribe that a toy is still just a toy at the end of the day. There's nothing wrong if a child wants to play with a Barbie doll with her tiny waist and long, long hair. Yeah.
Too high heels as well.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sciatica.
It's also all the influences around that child in his or her daily life. Yeah. We asked you on Twitter, should toys be divided by gender at all? You know, things like everything hardcore, guns and military and wheels and construction for boys.
Bulldozers.
Yeah, and everything pink and fluffy and cute for girls. Mm. You know, encouragingly, 65% of you said let the kids choose. 19% of you said no, toys shouldn't be divided by gender. 15% said yes. I'm wondering, you know, of course we all want to think we let the kids choose, but when it comes down to it, you know, if you're, and I think this will be more apparent when it's boys. If your boy comes to you and says, I want to buy this particular pink fluffy thing or a Barbie doll, or I want to dress up as a fairy for my school party.
Right.
How will parents react? And it's a tough question to answer.
I'm going
to
say the only person in this room who can answer it on our behalf is you, Shari, seeing that Suen and I don't have kids.
And it's going to come down to how can we, even if we want to say yes, how would I sort of prepare my child for the comments that he's going to get from his friends, from, you know, perhaps our relatives or whoever.
Possibly,
who's going
yes.
to, who may have a more traditional view and say, why are you dressing up like a girl? So it's a tough area to navigate. But we have two Twitter users who commented on this. Taufik said, toys should not be divided by gender. However, toys should be gender specific. So you should have male and female doctors. You should have male and female nurses, male and female engineers. Mm-hmm. I like this one, male and female radio broadcasters.
Actually, I wonder why.
Well, Taufik, if you know where I can get that toy. And Michael Chiang says, I collect toys and our home is surrounded by Star Wars and Transformers, but my daughter still gravitates towards Disney princesses despite my best efforts.
Well, perhaps we can convince her to dress up as a Disney princess but still play with Star Wars.
Yeah, like a pink dress wearing, hammer wielding.
After all, there
bulldozer is driving.
Yeah. Yes, there is a very prominent princess herself in Star Wars.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
true.
Yeah. So I think the idea is no matter what type of product it is, certain values are gender neutral, right?
I agree.
Curiosity,
yes.
Strength, courage, all of those things. That,
yeah, creativity.
Yeah, and that shouldn't have a gender value attached to
Nicely
it.
Nicely said.
Thank you. I think about this stuff a lot as a parent. Toys is very much associated with learning, as we understand more about the role of play and learning. And that's something we're going to be discussing at our Health and Living Junior event this Saturday. Yep. I hope everyone in the studio is as excited about it as I am.
It is a Saturday, right?
Yes.
It is this Saturday.
Sumitra is going to be there. Sumitra is going to be moderating a session. The whole bigger picture team will be there. Mm-hmm. So do come, say hello to us and meet all our experts, more importantly.
Yes.
And if you want to win two tickets to attend Health and Living Junior, just answer this question correctly. Which of the following diseases can be prevented by vaccines? A, gastric, B, measles, or C, asthma? All you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with the correct answer, your name and email address to 018-789-8899. And we really hope to see all of you there this Saturday.
Absolutely. And that is the show, folks. Thank you for joining us on the Daily Digest today. If you missed any part of the show, do download the podcasts from our website, bfm.my/dailydigest, or via the BFM app. We're also on Spotify. Have a great afternoon ahead, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.